Clark County.
Melita Mosley, Town of Yakima.
Sheriff Drosher, City of Battle Green.
Kim Hodges, City of Camas.
Dave Scott, City of Washington. Frank Castle, City of Ridgeville.
Julie Olson, Clark County.
Michael Torres, Clark County.
Samantha Whitley, with Clark County.
Samantha Torres, Clark County.
And Ralph, the Sheriff. Thank you. Approval of the February 10th meeting minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, item three, head funding updates.
Yes, this is me, and it should be in Kona action, as my colleague Samantha pointed out. We have two memos that you can look at. I'm first looking at the home one. Basically, our 2020 home entitlement is $574,307. 10% for admin is out of that is $57,431. Project implementation and fair housing, which we do, is $20,000. Then we add in reprogrammed or program income from the previous year of $783,624. So the funds available to award projects for home is $1,280,500. The chosen set aside, which is 15% of the annual entitlement award, is $86,146. So that is what we have for home. The next memo with CDBG. So the 2020 CDBG entitlement is $1,512,941. The program income that's generated by the rehab program is $181,019. Program income or reprogram dollars for infrastructure projects is $44,084. Program income or reprogram dollars for social service projects is $180,314. So the total funding is $1,918,358, but then deductions, the 20% admin is $302,588. The $20,000 that we set aside for contingency and projects, unanticipated, changes, things like that, is $20,000. Project implementation and fair housing HUD requirements, $30,000, and the homeowner rehab set aside is $350,000. So, deduct all that. The total allocable for CDBG is $1,215,770. Any questions on funding? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Home combined scoring and selection.
Sam, do you want to walk through that one?
Sure. There's also a memo on this. Normally, the board kind of looks at all the scores and then starts putting funding, but because HUD gave us our allocation early, we know exactly how much funding we have, and because we had enough funding almost for all of the applications, I just put together a proposed funding based on the scores, and it's up to you. This isn't what we're doing. This is up to you to decide if this is what you want to do. The Orchards Inn, because it scored the lowest, even though we had more funding in the social service category, we funded all of the infrastructure projects, proposed to fund all the infrastructure projects, and then they would get 74% of their requests, or $180,000 for the Orchards Inn outdoor amenities. And then similarly, with the two TIBRA programs that scored the lowest, they were so close that we thought we would give them both some of their funding requests, which would leave share with $100,500 for the TIBRA, $20,000 for case management, and then $30,000 to Lifeline for the tent-based rental assistance, with $6,000 for case management, which would be 40% for both of them of what they requested.
Usually, what we've done in the past, and we're not required to do it that way. Is we just go straight in order of how you rank them. So, Cher would get $130,000 if you chose to do that. They were just so close, that's just a proposal. So.
Thoughts or comments on splitting that at the bottom or any other?
I like the idea of giving
each of them some. I mean, neither one of them are going to get what they asked for, but they can do something with part of it.
Similar. Lifeline is more focused on SUD, substance use disorder, sorry.
And they seem to take the hardest to help.
I'd say they're both deal with populations that have very high barriers to stability. I'd say between, Lifeline has also had the hardest time so far spending out. And we haven't received the invoices for last year yet, but our understanding is that they have started and that invoices are on their way and that that's finally moving. So, that is one other factor to consider. Would you add anything to that?
I wouldn't mind funding Lifeline more. If you could.
You would like to fund Lifeline higher?
I listened to all the I Have to Do It Off line, but when I listened to their presentation and then read their application, I felt like they had a good program getting started. I'm still trying to understand why it's so important that they spend their money to be, I get it, but like why that's such a factor when it comes to like how good they are.
Well,
Huddle take back our funding.
I'd say there are two things. One is whether or not they're spending money is really directly relates to, are they serving the population they're proposing to serve? Because what we're talking about is rental assistance. So if they haven't been spending the money, they're not providing the rental assistance. So, what I would say in terms of, and it's up to you whether, we increase funding, decrease funding, but what I would say is Lifeline really did not get their program off the ground last year. Just the very, very end of the year. We have not even received the first invoicing.
Aren't they the ones that just finally got a new director?
Exactly, and that's one of the reasons, this isn't criticism, this is just objective,
right.
Just
facts.
Where they were at. So, that's part of the reason why they've hired new staff to really, really get the program running. So I think that it may turn out to be a good program. It's just starting out.
And additionally, even though it's super close, it's still slightly under share in a reason a ranking system. I don't know how much flexibility we would have, Michael, if we're using a ranking system to make adjustments that are outside of that ranking system.
Are they going to take it?
I said the 40-40 split is
it's already outside.
You mean, will Lifeline take it or will Share?
Well, I know Share will, but will they take less than what they've asked for?
They were asked if they would take less,
and they said yes.
Okay. So I do know quite a few people that are in that housing program right now. So,
anyways. Okay,
whatever.
And once they get their new director
online, they do. That was Tom that presented. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. They get their systems settled down and solid foundation under them. Maybe this is a different discussion next year as well.
And they're still working on spending last year's funding.
It was awarded in March 2018. They didn't get up to speed when their contract started January 2019, and then they weren't able to get up to speed throughout the year of 2019.
So have they lost it?
No, we carried it over, and
okay.
So now they're just started spending that money January.
So they still have that money?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of the quality, the need, or the appropriateness of the funds, for sure. It's just a matter of where they're best used at this point in time.
So how much do they have that's carrying over and just sort of beginning to be spent?
I
want to
say it was between
$75,000
and $100,000.
I think it was $100,000.
And what about
So, and there's a little bit of flux right now in HUD in terms of like the expenditure deadlines. You know, traditionally is you have 2 years for us to commit to funding and 5 years to spend. That's for us, not for the service provider, you know. And, you know, we have to, any reallocation of funds, you know, we have more hoops to jump. The contracts with the funders are 12-month contracts. And the expectation that has been communicated to all the providers is that they, you know, be ready to spend as soon as the contract is in place. So, you know, that's, you know, our deadline is different than the service providers.
And remind again what our deadline is for the money that they currently have that they haven't spent yet.
Well, it's a rolling, it's like the all overall funding. So if everybody didn't spend their money, we would be in a heap.
Yeah,
but because we are allocating this other money and other providers are spending down, that money can sit there. We can put it to a newer funding source instead of leaving it as.
So we manage, that's one of the things, you know, part of the $20,000 in terms of, you know, we manage the pools of money that were allocated to the county, you know, by different years. So we'll move the funding allocations around, you know, within what was approved, the amounts approved to stay current with HUD. So we really work that. The longer service providers take to spend out what they were awarded, the harder it is for us to juggle and move those plates around. I'm sure you're familiar with that kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we try not to be contributors to that in our community with our infrastructure projects.
So based on your conversations with Lifeline, are you confident that this $30,000 that they'd be able to get it, they're in a position now where they can use the money that they've been awarded and new money would be kind of just filling in some.
My last conversation with Tom is he said that their program is fully rented out. They've got people in all the spots that they planned to budget for. They just haven't billed yet. And so I think that they will get through their 2018 award in 2020. And then this, if they get this $30,000, could start 2021 and they would be able to spend it.
And that would be on schedule. For the 20, you said
it
wouldn't
be
till 2021, but it would still be considered on schedule?
Yes.
That answers that question.
Yep.
I didn't want to risk making your collective effort to ensure we spend all of our funds that much more challenging if they really weren't going to be able to spend it for you. That's what Brian was
saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're worthy. It's tricky, right? You want to help them, but you got to do it. Right? So, but trust your judgment that they're ready. They're doing that. They are doing it. Not they will be doing it. They are doing it.
Yeah, I trust what Tom told me, but I am curious why I'm in the middle of March and I haven't seen the January invoice. But I'm sure.
So we trust them. We trust them. We will know when we see their
reports. If we got into this cycle a little further and that challenge continued to present itself, we could do something different.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm sure we would do something different if it was continuous.
Yeah. And not wait for the whole cycle.
No, we could, you know, whole funding that's not being spent, you know, if necessary.
I don't know if there's a message to be given or not in that.
I think it has been given.
But with respect, okay. Including the 175.
Yes.
We could reel that.
Well, and, you know, they originally applied for 2019 funds, and we said, you haven't spent out 2018 yet. You know,
right.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that message is being given, not just to, like, to all service providers.
Right, right. That sounds like they had some difficulty staffing at the director level, so that kind of contributed to them.
It's a brand new program, right? It's the
brand
first
new
time
in this
they've
area,
done
but it's
housing.
Not brand new.
Right.
It's not the first time they've ever done housing. They were new to TVRA.
Okay.
And, and it is a new program.
They're new to this area,
aren't
they?
They've done some group homes and stuff like that, that we've, UCPV, but the community services has helped fund before. But any new program does take a little bit to get running.
They seem to be excited about the new staff, so maybe that was part of their issue.
And the good news is we have enough money to be having this conversation.
Yes.
The ability to have some funding for every applicant, I think, is
This question has nothing to do with the proposed award scheme that you have there. Maybe I'm just not tracking well. I thought that there were more categories than this. For example, in the blue color, I thought the social service projects were being scored and ranked differently. You just collected them all for this presentation. But
correct.
The reality is, if we were short on dollars, there were two categories in the blue and two categories in the purple.
Correct.
Okay.
That's true.
Do you have something that shows how the purple broke out?
So what we had said is that we were hoping that the TBRA would be limited to $350,000, and the way the scoring worked is a total of about $230,000 with the home funds. We have $100,000 for the Nest, and then $100,000 and $30,000, those are TIVA, so that's still below the limit of what we were proposing to fund TIVA at.
So the TIVA is $230,000, so 120 less. If we were to carve out that completely to the 350, there would be less money awarded to
Central Park Place.
Second step. Correct.
It would come out of the Central Park Place rehab application as the lowest scoring construction project.
So that's just a question I would pose to the group. I have an understanding that we would score those separately, and we were going to do 350 for tech-based mental assistance, and then we had another chunk of money for the other programs. This is a little different than that.
You can make that change if you want.
And the same thing with Orchards Inn, because we said we would have more money for social service, and Washougal is the only other social service project, so technically, that Orchards Inn should be fully funded, and funding would come out of Battleground's Clark Avenue Improvements Project as the lowest scoring infrastructure. And then BHA would be fully funded. And that's similar to what you're saying about the housing category, the way we've done it in the past.
So you cut some from one BHA project?
Yeah. Difficult, right? I just don't recall us discussing doing it this way.
No, and like I said, if we were short on funding, it would have made more sense to rank it as it went, but in the different categories. But I thought it kind of neatly worked out because we got our funding from HUD, we know our actual allocation, and the way we had it in the three categories this year, I thought, well, let's try this, but maybe I should have run that by the board first.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. I have my own personal sense of how I did my scoring, and I have no issue at all with the blue. And not just because of our project scoring, but just my sense of that VHA project relative to the other ones. And I think that's reflected in the scoring. I don't know that I feel exactly, just as me personally, I don't know that I feel exactly the same way in the purple ones. With the TBRA being just sort of that base getting off the street somewhere.
So what you're saying is, even though in the purple categories that's how they lined up score-wise, the TBRA should really just be compared to the TBRA on how they rank?
That's just a thought that I have, is though that stayed separated, and that's inconsistent, in terms of social service versus public.
That's not inconsistent with how we've done it, how we can.
Yeah.
And where did the $350,000 number?
So historically, we, with most of the categories, the way we come up with the proposed amount is we've looked at the last 3 years of spending and averaged it out. With TBRA, historically, proposals exceed the resources available significantly. So any amount of money we pour into TBRA will get absorbed by the proposals. That does not necessarily mean that the expenditures from what was proposed match up. So, you know, like there have been a couple of years where we've spent $800,000 on TBRA and we've had to recapture unspent funds and move those around. So, you know, historically, when we've done that, as we mentioned last meeting, SHARE has been our lifeline in terms of being able to spend out and, you know, speaking with you guys, reallocating funds to SHARE, and, you know, they've successfully spent out the funds, and, you know, to keep people housed. About 2018, we came to the board with the idea, well, let's fund one TBRA program. Instead of trying to recapture funds from three or four different ones that aren't that aren't necessarily spending out successfully, and who we fund is up to you. And we still got about four different proposals, and we had enough funding, and we went ahead and funded those. The $350,000 was kind of our way of like, well, how do we control what's going out in terms of TBRA and being successfully spent? So $350,000 is what has been successfully, you know, is within what has been successfully spent out throughout the years, and it's about the size of a single large TBRA program. So that's how we came up with the $350,000. Doesn't have to be that amount, you know.
Do you want to take $100,000 from Central Park Place and reallocate it to the TBRA programs that were underfunded? And that would put it at roughly $350,000
for 2023? I guess what I'm hearing from this proposed model is it's sort of spreading the peanut butter around a little bit, you know. And I wasn't present at the last meeting, but what I understand, talking to Ron, there was some discussion of that after the presentations. I think more focused on some of like around the asset and economic development projects and partial funding those. That this seems to sort of accomplish the same thing of trying to get everyone at least something, which I kind of like personally.
Yeah, I brought up being more flexible with this the last time I recall, so I appreciate the initiative on this. I just personally think the TBRA is a really, really high priority.
It is.
I'm sort of surprised to see the scoring like that, but it is what it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And I would be completely comfortable seeing additional dollars going into that, understanding the consequences to the Central Park Place rehab project, which is also important. I mean, these are all important projects, right?
So is there a specific proposal you want to make on that?
Well, I guess I want to make sure we find a nice sweet spot with respect to the Lifeline program. We want to be supportive of that, but I want to make sure that we're going to be able to get through the funds.
We did give Janice 120, so we are given some TBRA money.
Yeah,
we fully funded their project.
Yeah. Looks like we're at 230 instead of 350. And knowing that 350 is not a magic number, I understand it's not a magic number, but we're reducing our tenant-based rental assistance with this state here by $120,000. That's a concern.
I've kind of heard stuff about other programs in the area cutting people off too. Not our programs, but like there's probably going to be greater need for more tenant-based assistance.
Yes, but you know, so these funds went out and you know there's been an RFA process for these, so like, you know, we can't really, other programs will have an opportunity to apply for funding this next
right.
round when it opens up.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that are getting kicked off programs.
Correct.
That are going to need funding. So
there should be plenty of opportunity.
But, I mean, with these programs to fund people that are getting kicked off other programs or...
So, to Sam, your point, so that potentially an option could be, if the board wanted to consider it, is moving $100,000 out of the Central Park Place and moving it to Sheriff or to ERA.
Yeah, but I think also, but I think what David might have been mentioning is we could also take it from the Proud Ground home funding.
They need increments of 150,000, don't they?
100.
That's about 100,000 per homeowner.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was 150.
I was fine just funding 100,000 on that. That's at least one. Oh, when I scored it, I put a note that I just wanted 100,000 for them. I mean, I know I'm just one of many voters, but
because that's one family as opposed.
Yeah, one
to
at least one. Because yeah, I think they need like 90.
I like that program, but it does only fund one family, and it's a lot. The money goes farther in the other programs than it does with that one, but it's still a good program. I like the fact that the investment stays with them, so it can be passed on to more people. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that it was fully funded.
Historically, what bucket has the green then? They've been commingled with the purple historically.
The green, these Mercy Corps Northwest and Hispanic Chamber would come out of social service for CDBG. They're not eligible for home funds. And in Proud Ground, the last couple of years, they could use either or. And we've been using home funds because we generally have fewer requests for home dollars.
Okay. So previously we would have seen, it would have been Washougal, Mercy Corps, Proud Ground, Hispanic Chamber, and DHA.
Yes.
That would have been a scoring pod,
correct,
for lack of a better term.
Yes.
Okay. And then we would have just gone down the list. So it would have been Washougal, Mercy Corps, Proud Ground, Hispanic Chamber. And then DHA would get a little bit less on that Orchards and Outdoor Amenities project.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that wouldn't affect at all what happens with the purple ones.
No, but not.
Okay,
yeah, and this really is more of a function. It's not like a, we're going, as we've been wanting to for several years, move away from restricting how we're scoring based on what the funding source is to what the function in the community is.
But the Proud Ground application would have been under the home funds in the purple.
Got it.
Last year.
Got it.
Last
so they would have scored higher than the VHA Central Park Place Recovery.
Yeah.
I think I get the comment or the sort of the thought maybe that the TBRAs should be sort of looked at together because, you know, it's a little bit hard to compare apples to apples on scores.
so that'll come out of this contingency fund.
It's got the lowest score anyways.
Right, any further discussion on this particular motion? And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right. So we now have $120,000 in additional TBER funds. That would then be, so we actually have three eligibility. Did we fully fund Janice Youth?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So just the two then, Chair and Lifeline. We've already had a bit of discussion about Lifeline.
Make a proposal to put the 120 to Chair. My reasoning is that I think they have too much. I think Lifeline has too much of a good thing right now, in the sense that they have all these funds that they need to spend. And in some ways, it's not always, they don't have the resources to move the money, and they're behind already. I guess that's my concern, is that if we give them more, they might have difficulty spending it. But as we talked about earlier, I guess if they do have those kinds of problems, we have opportunities to make some changes later. And so,
I'd like to give them a chance now that they have a new director and they seem to be taking it seriously, that they need to get together and work out the kinks.
A little bit more.
How would you feel about a 120 split?
Yeah, I think what Lifeline, once they, you know, they're going to be housing people, they're going to need to be able to keep those people housed. So,
what would happen if you did it just proportionately like you did before?
Can we do math?
Percentage wise. Instead of just going 60-60.
Well, and if you did 90, like, that would be greater than the Lifeline request. So if we did it, like, you know, so I would not recommend funding above what they were
for. I like the notion of, I mean, they are 80.29 and 80 is the same number. I mean, this isn't so precise.
So you could
fully
fund Lifeline at 87,500.
You could, and only, and you know, this is, and I'm not advocating against doing that, right? But I just, you know, be deliberate. You know, if we did that, this, you know, you'd be fully funding a program
that scored
lower than a program you're not. So just if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Just be aware that's what we're doing.
Well, and taking it from Orchards Inn Outdoor Amenities to fund a program that hasn't been using all of its funding. I want to be conservative there.
Yes. I don't even think Orchard's in open right now. So
it's under construction.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been for a while.
And outdoor amenities that we're talking about were a basketball court, right?
Yeah.
ADA.
That part.
Well,
and ADA. That is correct. Thank you.
And ADA and giving, yeah, making it more of a home environment rather than facility environment, which helps mental health.
Yes.
I mean,
I think for my,
it's not unworthy just because it's a basketball hoop. I mean,
right.
Our children have to have some place to,
mm-hmm.
something to do that is wholesome and not just hanging out on the street.
Yeah.
From my perspective, with the new increased bucket of TV funds, I would fund it sort of based on score, you know, so fully fund share would be my proposal.
Share would even the streets announced share will not be fully funded.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah,
they've
requested
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The only difference there, Brian, would be it would be 250,500 to Lifeline if you just went based on score.
Right. I guess from my perspective, you know, Lifeline, they have money left over so that they're sort of fully funded this year just by the default of not having rental-based, rental assistance, you know, it's sort of a spending thing. It's not like a project that they can't do.
Right.
You know, if they didn't have rental assistance last year, then they didn't have any other support. So they have that money to spend this year now that they do have people support.
Yeah, I get that. But I also sense this desire to not have a zero in that. So.
Well,
oh, yes.
36,000
yeah.
plus carryover.
So, Jim, you made a motion to put it all in the share bucket. I would second that extra funds.
The 120.
The 120
yeah.
to share. I would second that. Just so that we can.
Sure, definitely.
There was a motion.
Yes,
I think there was.
It was sort of
a proposal.
It went, okay.
Would you like
it
to be a motion?
Sure.
Okay.
All
right.
Now we have a motion. Yeah, I agree with that strategy.
How are you voting? We're discussing, deliberating,
okay.
So feel free to. Any other thoughts or comments about that particular move? Seeing none, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Nay? Okay.
Yeah, nay, whatever.
All right. Okay, so for this year then, Cher will get the extra, so there'll be a $2,500, and Life Plan then will be up to $30,000. Proud Ground will get $200 rather than $300.
This will be
$156. All right, and then do we need any other action?
No. And thank you. This is, I really appreciate the thoughtful, deliberate discussion around all of it. And, you know, I hope you see that the 40-40 split we put in is really to generate that discussion. You know, so thank you so much.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I appreciate the initiative on how to do this.
Well, it's kind of good news, bad news. You know, it's good that we've got the additional funds, but the need will always be greater than what we've got. So.
Any other discussion on this, Sam?
So is there anybody that's not getting funding? Everybody gets something.
Everyone's still getting something.
So I have some, I don't know if this is the right time, but when we were doing the scoring, I kind of felt like the program, like the questions that it asks us, like, does this meet this diversity and stuff? Like, I don't know that that's questions that we would be able to identify besides just like our opinion. I don't know. And then I felt like the questions were in, we could have the application where the questions were. They were on like separate pages, so I'm like having to go back and forth, and then
That is tricky, and that is also the way that Zoom grants did it. You could read the application, but they had to go on a separate scoring table, which is a pain in the neck. I've asked Neighborly to just put for the scores, just put the score right next to the question. You can read and score at the same time. But they said, oh, that's a great idea, but I don't know where that's going to go or if that's going to be a possibility. I guess the best suggestion would be maybe to print it out, which is a pain to have on the paper, and then you can see where you're at. I noticed that some of the way we did the housing category and the social facilities category, we had 50 points for the application overview, then we had 50 points if you're a TRA, and so that was 100 points. And then we had, again, still 50 points for the overview and 50 points for construction, so that was 100 points if you're construction, but a lot of folks scored for one application 150 points. It's like, oh, I didn't communicate that very well, and that wasn't very clear, and so I had to just take out the points that they scored for TRA on a construction project, or take out the points that they scored on construction for a TRA project, so they did all still total up to 100. But I think the scoring could definitely use some work, and I'm not sure how much we'll be able to affect that or how we can make it easier. On the equity question, do you mean that what the applicants wrote didn't seem to?
Well, just the question that you're
asked. I think
we're
what you're saying
about.
Is that there's scores based, and I think it's what I mentioned to you in the email too, is like there's a score, 1 point for every 5% of this population.
Yeah,
so
how do we
you
know
have
that?
To go into the application and figure out that and calculate it. And
okay.
In the past, staff would score those sort of quantitative.
Technical.
Exactly.
Right.
And
there's a slight mistake.
If there's a way to do that in the future, that would help
sure.
simplify scoring.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go down on the form of opinion.
Sure. Well, so
yeah, we'll stick to the touchy feet.
We're happy to do that, you know, but I just want to make sure we're clear. Like, what we've been trying to do is give you more control, you know, and have staff, you know, because there's always, you know, honestly, there is a balance and tension between how much of a scoring proposal and funding a proposal is influenced by staff and how much is, like, you know, by policy makers and, process. And what we've been trying to do is structure proposals and, like, decision-making so you have as much control as possible, but there's still a consistent methodology to it. You know, it's very defensible, you know, and transparent in the decision-making process. So we can absolutely staff score objective criteria, use score subjective criteria. You know, we can absolutely do that. The reason you're doing it now is to give you as much of that ranking control as possible.
Well, it seems kind of silly that we would, you know, give a score, say, do they meet this criteria, and we say 10 out of 10, but do we really know?
If it's objective, we could get that wrong.
Yeah. Right, that's
the engineer in me, but, you know, if the board says that we want, you know, 5 points for, or 1 point for every 5% of the population served, that number is
like,
what it is.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and I think our control is maybe we change, you know, the weighting of that.
Sure.
Maybe just say they do need it.
Just show your work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam, just as an example, on the match requirements course, that's still supposed to be on a sliding scale. So as you looked at all the scoring, did you have to change any of those numbers because they didn't fit with the sliding scale that we have?
Well, also
as far as the match, because and that's what we're talking about is just that kind of stuff, and which is the way we've done it in years past, of course. I understand what Michael's saying.
Another complication with the match is, and maybe we just say, did this applicant provide the match, and you guys can do yes, 5 points, because when staff was doing match, we would say, the applicant would put in, I'm doing 100% match. Well, no, this isn't counted as match. This isn't eligible as match. This hasn't yet been committed. And we would like whittle it away and do all these calculations. I didn't expect you guys to do that. And I didn't adjust anybody's scores for match. So for next year, we were wondering how that was going to go, and like, are people going to like get out their calculator and see the match?
We were given a match, right? We had a number for match,
right.
And we had a total project cost.
Yeah.
So there's a fraction,
mm-hmm.
and it yields a percentage, and then there was a
round back or something.
I can't remember. I rounded down or up.
Yeah.
And all of them needed to be rounded. And I did that math, but I thought I had heard Rebecca say, if you don't know how to do that math, we'll do that for you.
Yeah.
I had heard
that's
that.
Also what I thought too.
So I felt a little more comfortable, like, okay,
so
yeah, I could do my math wrong, but I completely agree. I think I really appreciate the notion that you're trying to promote about this body having the ability to have as much discretion as possible in making a recommendation to the council, who ultimately will make a decision. And the council, and with our chair here, you know, fronting that to the council, like, yes, colleagues, this was a good process. It's kind of what you're trying to design here. I think what Brian suggested, where we would exert that in creating the scoring regime, here's what the weights will be, here's how much goes to this, and then if it's just a purely objective thing, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You guys can score that. And if someone's asserting match, that's not match. It's not
yeah,
match.
We don't, and we're not going to have that level of detail.
Right.
No, that's not really 100% match.
Okay, we'll definitely do it differently.
I thought this year's scoring was a little bit easier than last year's, and the program, I didn't mind bouncing back and forth. I did it several times to reread application info. I would appreciate if staff did some of that technical stuff because, yeah, I got a little bit like, am I doing this wrong? But a lot of the questions that we were to answer and score, I felt like the applications that were better written and more thorough, it was like biased towards them, some of the questions, because the scoring we had to do was based on, does application line out this?
Yes.
Rather than, you know, going through everything and learning what they do and where their funding is going and judging that. Does that make sense?
The quality of the application.
Yeah,
yeah, it was more the quality of the application, which is about, which is a, yeah, which is about who writes better, who, yeah, who has more experience writing grants.
I honestly don't know a really good way around that. I mean, the reality in any application process is the more solid your application.
No, I agree. I agree.
You're gonna get a better score, and I think that, you know, when you're scoring the application, you definitely want to. And this is subjective to an extent, you know, and it comes with experience in reviewing applications and scoring them. You do want to read through the art of the application and see the content.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there isn't really a good way of, you can't really move away from, is the content answering what is being asked?
Right.
You know, but yes, the quality application is going to affect scores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just,
I think Grant, right? I think it reflects, you know, reflects an understanding of what you're doing.
Yes.
That's what makes a good application. Is if you have a good project, and you can say, "Here's the need. Here's why this is so important. Here's how we're going to do it."
Well, he was still kind of talking, so I was like, "Oh." I was going to say, too, that so since I didn't attend the meeting, I listened to the audio, and I kind of made, you know, I had some opinions from the audio, and then when I actually read the application, so I was like, oh, this is way better than what I thought it was going to be. So I felt like that, you got to do all of it. I mean, obviously you do, but it really changed my opinion on, like, the Mercy Corps Northwest and things like that. I was like, wow, this is a really cool thing.
I had the same, and I was here and saw the presentation.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, this thing. But then when I actually read about it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, each one convinced me as I was going through each individual one. They convinced me that, oh, you guys are awesome, and this is wonderful.
And I was like, don't blame the presenter, because I know it's difficult to present things.
And we did both on the TDBGR, so the next one is
October, December, quarterly report.
And Rebecca's going to go through that. And that's this document.
So this is the quarterly report that goes through the end of 2019, so the fourth quarter of 2019.
Can we turn the lights up just a little bit?
Yes. Mine don't work as it is.
Yeah, mine don't either.
Is it
better? I need light and the glasses. So the Washougal K Street project is totally complete, along with the Ridgefield 8th Avenue and the Woodland sidewalk and ADA ramps, and the ESD 112 modular acquisition. Those projects are totally done and paid for. The Hogue Street improvements are still underway. The Salvation Army Growing Together Community Center, that project has been done, but we are still waiting for labor reports, and so we cannot fully pay out that project until we have all of those fund documents. The Battleground Southwest 3rd Street and Southwest 19th Avenue projects, that contract has been extended so that we can get that project going. On the second page, the Ridgefield South 3rd Avenue projects, that we now have a fully executed contract and they're bidding right now. It's open until March 24th, I believe.
Something like that. Yeah.
the Hathaway Elementary sidewalks, the construction on that project is nearly complete. The Columbia River Mental Health project, they've got the roof and the lighting all completed, but they're waiting for a flooring contractor, so they're trying to get that piece of that project completed. And then the share elevator project, we're still trying to figure out the door closing with the fire marshal and getting the fire marshal and the elevator people there at the same time. So there's been some scheduling conflicts with that. So it's nearly complete. They've done most of the work. They're just waiting to get that final approval on them. If you look at the next page for the home projects, they're chugging along. Isabella Court's been done for a while. Proud Ground has the one household that closed in December. The Second Step project, we've been doing a lot of technical assistance with that agency. So the final idea of that project is that they are working with a design agency that is they're going to actually build the units, and then Second Step is going to acquire them when they're done with the construction. And so Sam is working on the environmental review for that project. And then with the TIBRA, we've been talking a lot about TIBRA. So the Janus and Share 2018 projects are complete. They have fully spent out, along with the Salvation Army. And then Janus's 2019 and Share's 2019 programs are underway. Lifeline, we already talked about, they still have not billed for their program. That is all of it.
So I see a note next to Washougal on schedule about that when that's done. Is there something I need to get on the team?
No, so it was not, because we had such a significant delay getting all of the documents while it was in project or to get it completed. That's why it was not on schedule. We typically keep the projects on the quarterly report until the quarter that everything is fully paid. And now it's totally done. So nothing you need to do for that.
Very good. Okay.
For the case.
Yeah, this is October to December too. So, okay.
So can I just say something? I'm sorry if I keep talking, but the group home, so I helped, somehow they called into my work and I ended up talking to the people that were planning that, and because they need to know where to get the C-van and all that. Anyways, all the people moved in there and everything, and they've been scheduling their rides, so.
Yeah, Samantha was able to attend their open house, and they were super excited.
They were really cute.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I helped. I'm like small part, you know, just got to review things, but
yeah, they're very cool. Excited to be in the new, in that home. So,
that's awesome. No other questions? All right, thank you. Any other items from the board members? When is our next meeting? Monday, April
13th,
right now.
Right now, if needed, and I don't know that.
Yeah, I was wondering what exactly we're going to be going over, because I'm supposed to be in Bend on the 12th, so I may not be back in time.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to meet. You know, we keep that date, and we keep the room availability. And as soon as we know that we're going to cancel it, we make the room available. We don't just hold on to it. So, Sam, can you think of anything that's pending that we'll need?
No, and Janet's been scheduling me with all of the city councils, so Michael and myself will be coming out. I guess all of you mostly meet first and third Mondays, Wednesdays, and so we're trying to figure out how to get out to everybody in the next couple months to talk about the consolidated plan and the CPGB.
And we'll be coming to you
at your,
it won't be a UCPB meeting thing. Sorry. Yeah, so historically, it's usually around October that we have our next UCPB meeting after this.
So just watch our emails.
Yeah.
I think we did like a program update in the summer, and we talked about, this board was interested in hearing more about homelessness and the system. And so we might schedule that for some time. It's hard to find a good meeting time
early
in the
summer.
Mm-hmm. But
I think it was June.
Maybe in June.
Okay. I mean, that's
so
June isn't difficult to do.
A question, Michael. Does staff need
absolutely, we can. You know, honestly, we try to keep the UCPB meetings minimum for your convenience more, and we could schedule like September, you know, August meeting to talk specifically about upcoming scoring. If you want, if you'd like to do that, we'd be happy to.
September.
That would help because if nothing else, people will know what to expect.
Yep.
When it does come around, it's like, this is what it's going to look like. If we don't like it, then we can maybe tinker with it a little bit.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I bet we could fit that in with the way you've historically done the meetings because there's a couple of times we come in where you're
right.
15 minutes.
I agree.
And then we jam.
Because I was late 2 hours, but it's not always the case.
So we don't always need that, which I'm not. That's fine.
Well, I mean, it's fine.
That's fine. But,
yeah.
But rather than add another
that
meeting
than
to
adding
schedule.
Another meeting.
So I have a procedural question. Do we, I'm trying to figure out, so when we voted, was that just for the reallocation of money, or do we have to vote to approve this to send it to?
That was my question, yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. and I apologize, I didn't catch that. I had interpreted that as you voted to the
approve that
spreadsheet as modified. But that could have been a wrong interpretation.
Yeah.
That's what my interpretation was.
What, that it was the as is?
I thought it was a reallocation
of funding.
That we were accepting what we had just changed.
Because she made the changes as we were discussing.
Uh-huh.
So, but we can flash that up again and
because I would move to approve it as with, I just didn't want to vote for it.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up.
And that was my question, too. So if
there's
a clarification, let's just do it. So we'll just clean it up.
Second.
Yeah, move to approve it with all of our changes.
As amended.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. And I apologize. It went over my head.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, so much. Great discussion today. And
Thank you,
staff, for all the work you do to allocate these funds and keep track of everybody.
Yeah.
And keep track of us.